going into battle. They're not carrying, you know, weapons, and they're not fighting against anybody. So they shouldn't have any right to our wealth. They shouldn't have any right towards anything. So they were treated as second-class citizens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verse came, the verse was revealed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they have similar rights, and you cannot treat them as second-class citizens and say that, well, we will not give them miras, we will not give them their due, we will not give them their mahar, we will not give them anything, we will not give them any wealth. And this was what would happen, that sometimes they would opt not to give any mahar. They would intentionally assume responsibility over orphan girls just so that they can benefit from their wealth. They wouldn't marry off those girls to other men because they had a motive, and that was to control the wealth that this orphan girl came with, which is not permissible. It is not permissible to do that, right? To intentionally withhold somebody's haq and somebody's right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses has mentioned that you have to give whatever is prescribed to these orphan women. And even if you wish to marry them, you must give them their haq. Although they are orphans, but they still have a haq. And you are obligated to give the wealth. Right? The mahar is something which is farz. Mahar is farz. And unfortunately, in this day and age, this is not considered at all at times. Yes, an exorbitant amount of mahar at times is established, but that doesn't mean that it is not given altogether. Some should be given. Some mahar should be given. If the mahar was stipulated at $1,000, at least $100 can be given. Everyone is capable of giving $50, $20, $10, whatever the person's capability is. He is capable of giving that to his wife. After which, he can give whenever the time comes up. So it is an obligation to give the mahar amount. Of course, it should not be exorbitant. وَالْمُسْتَضَافِينَ مِنَ الْوِلْدَانِ وَانْتَقُمُوا الْيَتَامَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even the weak people, even the weak from amongst the young, you should establish for them with fairness, that you should give them their right, you should give them their money. Whatever is due to them, it should be given to them. And each and every single individual, whether it is a husband, whether it is a wife, whether it is a non-Muslim, whether it is a child, each one in an Islamic society has specific rights which are associated to them. And if those rights are not fulfilled, then there will be mu'akhaza and accountability in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in those days, you know, they would not give any right to the orphan. There's a story where Abu Jahl had assumed ownership over an orphan's property and wealth. So this orphan, and this was during the Islamic days. So Abu Jahl, he just usurped all of this wealth. And they knew that Abu Jahl was not going to give it. He was a chief, he was very powerful. Right? Someone who is powerful. And how can someone who is weak go and object? So this orphan, he ended up at the doorstep of the Prophet ﷺ. Someone advised him that go to the Prophet ﷺ and he will fight your case. So he goes, the Prophet ﷺ, he goes to Abu Jahl and he does exactly that. And it was given to him. Because Rasulullah ﷺ was very powerful, he was very honorable. He was from a very distinguished clan, the clan of Banu Hashim, which was given great regard and consideration. So Rasulullah ﷺ fought this orphan's case. And this is what Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala referred to. When the Prophet ﷺ, when the wahi was received, the Prophet ﷺ thought he had gone mad. He had gone insane. So he went to his wife and she gave him comfort. She gave him comfort that, you know, you are not insane. You are not an insane person. You're an honorable man. You help the widows, you help the poor, you helped orphan children. So how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do something like this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forsake you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your supporter. He is going to help you. How are you going to do? This is what you do. These were the acts before prophethood. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an honorable man before prophethood and even after prophethood. He was always honorable. At all times, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very honorable man. So you take the burden of other people. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in this episode, that he took the burden of this orphan and he helped him, although he was under no obligation to help. Right? We are under no obligation. If somebody comes to us, we don't have to help. It is not obligatory that we help. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would take the burden of other people. This was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if that was a non-Muslim, a non-Muslim woman, hadith is very mashhoor, it is a very known hadith, the non-Muslim woman, she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and her source of income at the time was singing and dancing. That was her source of income. So she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam helps her. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he helps her and he gives her money. This was a non-Muslim that approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not look at, well, this person is a non-Muslim and she doesn't deserve any help. He still helped her and he still provided for her. This was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the character that each and every one of us must be adopted. Each and every one of us must adopt. There's a very good book written by one of my teachers. It is in Urdu, Hukukul Ibad, by Mufti Mahmud Ashraf Sab. He was my teacher in Darul Uloom Karachi. He's the nephew of Mufti Taqi Sab, and he taught me Tirmizi and Mishkat. He's a student of Maulana Idris Kandelwi. So he wrote this book, Hukukul Ibad, and in there he has in detail gone over each and every individual's haq, zawj haq, you know, the husband's haq, the wife, the brother, sister, parents, etc., etc. It's about 350, 400 pages. It's in Urdu. It's in Urdu. It's not translated, unfortunately, into English. But a very excellent read, and it can be found, I think, in Buffalo Kutubkhana. وَمَا تَفَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ. And whatever you do of good, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. That whatever you do related to justice, whatever you do related to piety, في أمر النساء واليتامى, in the matters that pertain to women and in the matters that pertain to orphans, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُجَازِكُمْ عَلَيْهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for this. This is not something that, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to let slide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for it. It is not going to be overlooked. People think that, you know, we have done something good and, you know, we're doing it just for the sake of being good. No. There is reward for this. There is true and absolute reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we have to believe in, that we will be rewarded for all of this. Whatever khair we are doing, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to let it slide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to overlook that khair. Whatever we do, no matter how small, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward that individual for that small act of kindness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on a small act of kindness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven grave misdeeds for a small act of kindness. Just because this was an act of khair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven. So we cannot afford, if the opportunity of khair presents itself, then we cannot afford to overlook it. We must participate, we must make sure that we participate in that khair, in that act of khair. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, it's possible that our salvation can be achieved by this small virtue, by this small virtuous act. وَإِنِ امْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَاضًا فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks of the woman, and if she has a problem in her marriage, then what can be done? First of all, it is the man and husband's responsibility. It is very unfortunate that in this day and age, men and women, spouses, are having arguments with each other, are quarreling with each other over trivial matters. And I've said this time and again, the common denominator in most of these disputes is lack of religion, lack of deen. I've noticed, and I've presided over many divorce cases. And each and every one of them I have seen, each and every one of them, the problem was lack of Islam, lack of deen in the house. I'm not saying that this is something that is not found in the extremely pious families. It's found and it's there. And perhaps, you know, this was because infringement of hukuk or other reasons. But more often than not, it is because there is a lack of deen in the household. The household is not conducive to the Islamic teachings. And this is what creates problems. This is what happens between husband and wife, that they are not aware of one another's hukuk. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that what should this woman do if she fears from her husband an argument or distance, that sometimes the husband has become very distant. And this is also a complaint, that my husband has become very distant to me. The favor that he used to show me, he is not showing me that favor. He is not showing me that favor. So what should be done? How can this be resolved? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا يُسْلِحَ بَيْنُهُمَا. Then first and foremost, they should acknowledge that there is a problem. They should acknowledge that there is a problem. And second, they should seek reconciliation by any means necessary, by any means possible. And at times the woman may need to do sabr, and at times the man will need to do sabr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that yes, you may find some of her qualities unattractive, but there may be other qualities that she possesses which will be attractive towards you. So these are the qualities that you must look at. These are the qualities you must look at. Sometimes men are just looking for an excuse just to run away from the marriage. They don't want to preserve the marriage. And they do not care that who are we harming during the divorce and during this quarreling. If there are children, then they are going to be harmed. The children are going to be harmed. It will have a very deep and negative psychological impact on their lives if they see their parents constantly fighting, quarreling, bickering, and then ultimately they separate, and it culminates in divorce. This has a very negative impact. This is why the Prophet ﷺ, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the worst thing, أَبْغَضُ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ, that the worst halal thing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talaq. And that kind of talaq which is for no reason. I mean, there's no reason to give talaq, and someone has given talaq just because he became mad. Well, who doesn't become angry? Everyone becomes angry. But that doesn't mean, that's not an excuse, that's not a prelude that, well, let me give talaq. No, sabr. Sabr at the time. It should be, this is how it should be. It should be sabr. There should be sabr. There should be giving and there should be taking. At times you will have to show superhuman patience. You will have to show patience which is a superhuman. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man with a lot of sabr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created women with sabr as well. Probably more so than men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them with so much sabr. High tolerance for pain. High tolerance, I mean, they're not aware. Rasulullah, we can't even take care of one wife. And then we speak about, you know, polygamy and that we should get married again. And I mean, in what world are we living in when we can't even take care of one of our spouses, and then we are talking about multiple marriages? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to take a page from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's book, that he was married to 9 women and he never had a problem with any one of them. He never had a problem. I mean, he displayed equality between each and every single one of his wives. Each and every single one of his wives, he displayed equality. Love and inclination, this is from the heart. We cannot really, this is not something that can be added or subtracted or multiplied. Right? We cannot quantify love that is in the heart. So our inclination, if someone has multiple spouses, the inclination we have no control over. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask us on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to take us and hold us accountable for that. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take account, the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take accountability on, will ask us, is the fact that, well, were you just between them? Did you give to each and every one of them what they deserved? Did you fulfill your hukuk when it mattered? Did you give them a similar house? Did you give them similar expenditure? Did you give them similar food? Right. So this is what, this is where the equality, the whole concept of equality comes in. The whole concept of equality is in these, in these components, not in, you know, love or who you love or who you are inclined towards more. There's no mu'akhada for that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask each and every person who has, who has, you know, two or three or four wives. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse says, وَإِنْ امْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِرَادًا, that if a woman fears from her husband an argument, or she feels distance from her husband, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْمَا يُسْلِحَ بَيْنُمَا صُلْحًا, then there is no haraj, there is no sin, if both of them seek some kind of common ground, some kind of reconciliation. And reconciliation can be sought. Either the husband can propose something, or the woman can propose something. The woman can propose, well, you know, I know that there are some hukuk that I am entitled to. And she simply tells the husband, well, I am willing to forego those hukuk, right, to some degree. So in this way, our marriage is preserved. Or the husband, he gives some quarter, and he says that, well, I am fulfilled to forego some of my hukuk that I am entitled to, you know, for your sake. I mean, this is in a marriage which is considered an ideal marriage. You know, there's hardly any arguments. In this day and age, this is not even possible. In this day and age, this is not even possible that the woman gives any quarter or the man gives any quarter. They're both at odds. If something happens, then, oh, you have done this to me, you have done this to me, I'm a prisoner, I'm trapped, you're trapped, you know, everything just, you know, implodes internally. Everything implodes internally. And this leads to destruction of marriage. This leads to destruction of so many people and so many lives. So, similar to Hazrat Sauda, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Sauda, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the wife of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was equal between his wives. But Hazrat Sauda, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she perceived from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, you know, now I have become old, I have had my children, you know, and you are, you know, still a young man. So I have given my haq, I have given my right to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that's fine. Although he did not ask for anything. He did not ask Hazrat Sauda that you do this for me. She herself presented this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she had 2 days, as opposed to the rest of the wives who had 1 day. And that doesn't mean that the Prophet ﷺ would simply alienate Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha completely. Of course he went to see her later on. But as far as the nights are concerned, this is where equality lies. It lies in the nights, how the nights are distributed. So if you stay one night there, then you are legally bound to stay another night at the other spouse's house or home. So this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is how those who are married, this is how they distribute their nights. So now this person, this woman, she can either say that, well, some of my rights I'm willing to forego, so that we can continue our relationship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages that wasulhu khair, reconciliation in this regard is very good. It is very good that one of them gives some quarter, one of them gives some space, and they understand that divorce is not even an option. Divorce should never be an option. Even some people, they don't even follow the whole procedure of reconciliation, and they jump straight to divorce. There's a whole procedure before one should exact divorce. That procedure is mentioned in the Quran. حَكَمَ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمَ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا وَعِزُهُنَّ, stay away from her, advise her, you know, find someone to arbitrate between your arguments. And then, if all of that doesn't work out, these 3 degrees, if these options don't work, then you divorce her. You give her one, not three at one time, like a madman. One, because one does what three does. You give one divorce and that is sufficient. So people don't realize that, you know, marriage isn't a plaything. Marriage is not a plaything. It's not something that, you know, you're not going to stay happy forever. You know, marriage is a very great responsibility. You will stay happy, and then it becomes a responsibility. You know, there's the honeymoon phase, and after that honeymoon phase may last 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years. But after that, reality is going to hit. Reality hits. A couple of kids, you have responsibilities. Right? So you can't start complaining to your mother and father, "Oh, I'm stuck now. I can't do anything. Why did you get married in the first place? What were you thinking with? You know, what were you thinking with?" You should be thinking with your head. If you don't want to get married, then you should think that, well, I'm going to have responsibilities. Now this bijadi, she has nowhere to go. She has married. She came with so many arman. She came with so many hopes. She left her mother and father. She left her family, who were her family. And she, you know, came with you to a complete stranger's house who she didn't even know, with these hopes and desires. And now you're thinking about, "Oh, I'm stuck. And this is, you know, what kind of marriage is this? This is a loveless marriage." You know, bewakoof admi, what are you talking about, loveless marriage? Yeah. So this is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. This line of thinking is unacceptable. This is foolishness. There's no marriage like that. No marriage lasts. The duration of the marriage, no marriage lasts with absolute love at all times. Yes, there will be times where it is going to be a struggle. It is going to be difficult. This is the reality. This is the reality. But what will help this couple, if a couple is going through this, what will help this couple is following the Islamic tenets, following the Islamic dictates, looking at the lives of the Sahaba and what marriage meant to them, what respect they had for marriage, how the Prophet ﷺ, how he would associate with his wives, how he would speak to his wives, how he would take care of them, how he would talk to them, what he would do in the house. Rasulullah ﷺ would do each and everything in the house. I wrote an article in the past newsletter. I'm sure many, many who are sitting must have read it, and hopefully it wasn't something that gave their women folk an excuse to, you know, just tell the husbands to do everything at home. But the purpose of that article was that most men, they're just sitting at home. They think that they're above vacuuming, they're above cleaning, they're above doing the laundry, they're above taking care of the kids, and everything is the wife's responsibility. But no, this is not the case. The husband also plays a very important role in raising the kids. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised so many kids. In his time, he would do tarbiyat of children. Rasulullah, he used to do everything. The Prophet, he wouldn't tell his wife that, you know, "Get this for me," or "Do that for me," or "Press my legs," or "Press my feet." Rasulullah was a very considerate man. Even when he would get up for tahajjud, he would get up quietly. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha would immediately notice. Hazrat Aisha would notice that Rasulullah had left the bed. But he would get up very quietly without waking his wife. When we get up from our beds, moaning and groaning and, you know...
But don't go behind men. There are a lot of girls also standing like this. They are crazy too.
Yes. You're right.
Also, women are also standing like this. Am I right or not?
Of course. Equally, women also have this responsibility. Women also have a responsibility. They're constantly complaining that you have not given me anything since I have been in this marriage. Yes, this is a complaint that I've heard as well. That, you know, you have the whole time we've been married for 5 years, you have not given me anything. You've not given me a new car. You've not purchased this for me. You have not purchased that for me. So of course it goes both sides. It goes both sides. This goes both ways. And this is why it is very important to read these hukuku zawj, hukuku al-azwaj, or hukuku zawjain, I should say. The rights of the husband and rights of the wife. And that there has to be a middle ground that both of them should seek. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he's saying, وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ, that reconciliation, if a problem occurs, then reconciliation by any means necessary is best. وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ. Now, a woman, she has that, well, she doesn't want to separate for whatever reason. usually it's because of the kids, that if a separation occurs, then what happens? The kids will suffer. Or she thinks that the kids will suffer. So she wants to make sure that greed is ever present in the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse that, and greed is ever present in the hearts. Which means that a woman will try her utmost best, that, you know, she will tell the husband that, you know, you have to continue to provide, even though you are not inclined towards me, you will still provide for me, no matter what. I'm going to make your life as difficult as possible. So of course this is not permissible as well, that the woman makes the husband's wife, the husband's life difficult. The husband can only provide in accordance to his status. It will be in proportion to his status. If the husband is a blue-collared worker, how is he going to provide for the wife things which are very expensive? It's not possible. And the wife should also understand that it is beyond the husband's means. It is beyond the means. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given a choice to the Azwaj Mutahharat, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that look, if you prefer the material life and the material aspects of this world, then you have a choice. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will let you go and you will be given a comfortable living. But if you are prepared to live with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a very modest man. But fortunately, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were also muttaqiyah. They also had great taqwa. And they chose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They chose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever money they would receive, even after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's departure from this world, whatever money they would receive, they would give it in sadaqah. Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she would give huge sums of sadaqah. The stipend that Hazrat Zainab would receive, it would be given in sadaqah. Each and every one of them was charitable. Each and every wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was charitable. And they lived austere lives. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's departure, they lived austere lives, very simple lives. And these are the Azwaj Mutahharat. Hazrat Fatima lived a very austere life. She was very simple. She would do everything by hand. And this is a responsibility of women as well. That just as men have responsibility to care for the wives, to provide them nafaqah, to provide them sukna, similarly, women also have responsibility. When Hazrat Fatima radhiyallahu anha, when she complained to Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu an, that it is very difficult for me to grind, you know, the mill, and I have developed calluses on my hands, right? So Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu an, he suggested to Hazrat Fatima radhiyallahu anha that go to your father and ask, you know, that, you know, you have received some slaves from Mal-e Ghanimat, from the spoils of war. So ask your father for something. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, let me give you something better. And over there, at that moment, he advised that you should read tasbih and tahmid and takbir, you know, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar. If it wasn't a responsibility, the point of issue is, and the point I'm trying to make is that if it wasn't the responsibility of the woman to take care of some of the household chores, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have simply told his daughter, who is extremely beloved to him, the youngest daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, well, it's not your responsibility. Why are you cutting the wheat? Why are your hands calloused? This is not your responsibility. Which indicates that it is the responsibility. It is the responsibility of women to take care of some of the household chores. It is her responsibility. So yes, men and women, as uncle was saying, yes, women also have great responsibility. And men also have great responsibility. But they should recognize, both should recognize the responsibilities that have been given. And in this way, the marriage, inshallah, will succeed. وَأُخْدِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّهُ, and greed is ever present in the hearts. But وَإِن تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, if you do good and you observe taqwa, you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are cognizant of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. Of whatever you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So whatever you are doing in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompense you in proportion to what you have done. وَلَن تَسْتَطِيُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ, and you are never going to be capable in equality when it comes to women. You will never be able to maintain equality if one has multiple spouses. Then a man is not going to be equal in his muhabbat, in his inclination, and in his attraction to his consort. This is because this is something that is specific to the heart. Right? It is specific to the heart. So of course, a man is not going to have, he doesn't have any control of that. That how much he loves his if he has 2-3 wives, how much he loves, you know, this one, or how much he loves that one. This is not within his control. But what is in his control is the equality and whatever he provides for them, whatever expenditure he gives them, whatever the nights that he spends with them. So if he spends 2 nights over there, then he should spend 2 nights over there. فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذْرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّكَةِ. Do not lean completely towards one in such a way that you leave the other one hanging. This is what happens when a person is practicing polygamy. This happens often, that, you know, he shows complete attention. He's devoted to one wife completely, and he shows complete devotion and attention towards her, but the other one, he has left her hanging. She doesn't even know her place anymore. She doesn't know her status. She doesn't know anything, that, okay, you know, am I still his wife? She's thinking. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَإِن تُصْلِي وَتَتَّقُوا. But if you mend and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you maintain equality and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمًا, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَتِهِ. And if it happens that both of them separate from each other, so يُغْنِ اللَّهُ inshaAllah, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَتِهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make each other mustaghni from one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this woman will be given a better husband, and this man will be given a better wife. This is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? If it culminates in separation, if the husband and wife can no longer maintain the hukuk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can no longer maintain the rights that are due upon one another, and if they separate from each other, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them mustaghni. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make them dependent on each other with his fadl and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain this husband with a different spouse, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain the wife with a different husband. And it shouldn't be looked down upon that, well, you know, such and such woman has been divorced, and, you know, she can no longer find a spouse. One shouldn't look down upon this. This is her right. It is permissible for her to do that. Right? Unless it is the woman's own choice and prerogative not to do that. But if she wants to, then society should not look down upon her. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-embracing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses wisdom. Right? This is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. InshaAllah, we will continue with the following verses next week. Jazakallah khair.
The bottom line is this. Yeah.
Yes.
Because they did complain to the Prophet, but the ayat came, if either you want the things in this world, you know.
Yes, this is an, it's a double